Welcome to the Destined for Success podcast. I'm your host, Jennifer Takagi, and this podcast used to be called New Manager Media, Manage Right from the Start. Many of the concepts are the same, but there's a little shift. There's a shift because I know we are all destined for success, and I want to help you find the fastest, smoothest way to reach your highest best as quickly as possible. Join me in today's episode where you're going to come up with new ways to build your skills and influence others to make the impact you desire to make. I look forward to connecting with you soon. Welcome to Destined for Success. I'm your host, Jennifer Takagi, and today is a special, special day. I'm so excited to have my friend Jan Hoth on the show. Jan has a new book coming out, Joy Anyway. Jan, I'm so happy to be able to visit with you and talk about your journey and your book, why you wrote it, and thanks for being here today.
Oh my gosh, Jennifer, thank you. And it's so awesome to be here with our listeners and to get to share about the book because it does mean everything to me. And it's such an honor to be here with you to talk about it.
And so when I met Jan, we are in a mastermind group together. I think we call it a mastermind. I don't know what Shiraz calls it. we're in a thing together. We have a lot of people we cross paths with. Unfortunately, yes. We haven't met in person, but that will be coming.
Yes.
And Jan had her name, Jan Joy Hoth. And I was like, is it Jan? Is it Joy? And I kept getting mixed up. And she was like, well, it's actually Jan, but like Joy is my thing. And I was like, all right. And she goes, but I'll answer to Joy. It's like, great. So Jan, how did you get in the business of joy? Because I love it. That's a super high vibration word. I was at a retreat and we had to decide like what next level we wanted to get to on the chart of emotions and vibrations. And I was like, yeah, I want to go to joy. And this woman looked at me and she goes, that's a few steps. So you might just go a little bit at a time till you hit the joy. And I was like, oh, I have to go in steps incrementally? Okay. So yeah, I have a question about that. So how did you get into this whole joy business? I love it.
Well, and I already have my thoughts on that. I'm like, for you, Jennifer, heck no, you can skip the steps. And I hope that's encouraging to everyone here. Like, honestly, by the end of this podcast, I hope that everyone listening is already feeling a little bit, if not a lot more joyful. And I'm in the business of joy because it really is who I am at my core. I believe it was a mission and a message that I was brought into this world to bring and share. And where it has come so profoundly and why this book, and we'll get into why now, but why this book is because I've had so much not joy in my life that has caused me to understand and appreciate this mission, message, embodiment of joy that much more. Because just like anything, like when we have the opposite of, when you feel depressed and sad or heavy or angry, like the idea of having joy feels so far away. And yet when you do get there again, then it's like, oh, like there's elation and even ecstasy at that point, you know, like there's just a profound experience of wonder and delight. And I just so believe in the fact that like joy is meant to be, and my dog is a Bernese Mountain Dog, by the way. So she is very joyful and loves to underscore what I have to say. So if she pipes up in the background, she's just like, you know, emphasizing. She's my bold face for communication. Yes. So, and I believe joy is a birthright. And I believe that so many of us forget that we come into this world and life happens. And then all of a sudden it's like, we're here surviving and we're here following a path that maybe wasn't ours, but we're trying to make good and make do. And the more that I have journeyed in my life, and I'm late 40s now, happily 47 here at this time. And as I've journeyed my life and I grew up moving a lot and I grew up experiencing adversity and diversity, living overseas included, really discovered that there is an underlying desire for joy that has not been spoken about and taught and provided for in a meaningful, practical application. And that's where I feel I am meant to be one of these, not one of these, the leading expert, the joy alchemist, if you will, to talk about this and to demonstrate and to teach it. And this book is really just a, you know, portal into my world that my clients also get to feel, because I'm really believe in the transformative and transforming powers that joy provides when you know how to access it. So the book, you know, talks about, and I know you've read it, which is so awesome. In the book, I talk about different stories that I've had to experience and grown through, and not had to, I've gotten to. Because I believe everything happens for us, and it's an opportunity to learn and to grow and discover more of ourselves. I mean, I know you have an incredible backstory yourself, many of them, and yet your experience of surviving the Oklahoma City bombing, like I just floored by that. And yet all of us, everyone listening, I know, has experienced challenges and adversity. And I really believe now is the time to open up the conversation for possibility, to not let this joy thing be a someday nice to have at the end, happy ending, tra-la-la. No, it's raw, it's real, and you get to have it now, no matter what. You get to have it now anyway.
I love that. And what came to mind for me, I adored my mom. She was wonderful. And I was, I don't know, in my 30s, I could have been in my 40s, but I think I was probably still in my 30s. And it became very apparent. My mom lived a good life. She raised four kids, took care of the house, took care of my dad. They adored each other. They loved each other so much. They literally died 12 days apart. It was heartbreaking for us, but they didn't want to be apart more than that. And she lived her life out of a sense of duty. Like everything she did was a duty. Like, I have to do this because it's a duty. I have to do that. And I was talking to our preacher one time about it. And I was like, well, you have to do all these things. And he went, well, what if you did them out of love? Like, what if you just shifted that thought of I have to do this or my name will be mud into, wow, I love my family and I want to do this to show that I love them. Some days it is a duty. Let's be clear. Some days I have to load the dishwasher and turn it on. Like, some days you have to do the things, but but you have to do everything that way. And I remember when my mom turned 50, it was like a really big deal and something snapped in her and she became a different person. From 50 until she died at 73, she was a different person because she decided at 50, oh, I can live my life. But she had gone all the way till 50, getting all her kids out of the house and, you know, grandkids and all the things. And so when I was reading your book, I was like, yeah, this would have been so helpful for my mom, because you don't have to wait till you're 50 and get all the kids out of the house.
Yes.
You quit living in a sense of duty and start living from a place of joy. So yeah. Oh, I love this. I love this. Okay. Keep going.
Oh, I love what you just shared too. And that's actually, I have to tell you, I've added a section in the book since you read it of joy anyway, at any age.
I love that. Yeah.
And really dove into that aspect, because I have a client that's 81 and we're getting into her joy anyway at her age and looking at how is it working when we slow down. But then I also have like a college student reading it and she's all excited because she's stepping out of her identity and stepping into her new joy expression and is inspired by the stories in the book. And I so appreciate you talking about your mom, because it's like, you know, yes, my audience and my book is kind of centered towards women. It's for anyone who's interested in this conversation. And it's yet coming from a feminine voice, because it is about that creation and expression. And if I don't really talk about it in the book, and yet it's background with divine feminine energy of creation and flow and nourishment and upliftment and nurturing. And that's what my intention for the book is to be, in part, like a big fat cheerleading, like upliftment, joy boost. And then also like anecdotal, like you can do this. Anybody can do this. Just lean in, take one step at a time, honor who you are and where you are. And no matter what you're facing, like no matter what you're facing, and it can be the dishes, cleaning the toilet. Like we joke in our house, you know, I'm very much, my husband and I are very much about advocates of our kids, you know, being part of the family activity. And my daughter has learned how to clean a toilet joyfully by putting her earbuds in. So joy anyway, there's a chapter on it, joy anyway, every day and every, in any way, anytime, there's lots of anys for a reason. Because joy isn't meant to just be sitting on a shelf. Joy isn't meant to be left for vacation days and for birthdays and for whatever else. And I feel like my dog's in the background going, amen, amen. Preach it. Because this is what's, it's so exciting. And again, thank you for hosting me today. And thank you everyone for listening, because I'm so fired up about this right now, because I know, and this is going to make me cry, I know so many people are hurting and are in unnecessary pain, or like your mom, an unnecessary relationship with life that it's dutiful. You can get your stuff done. And I believe joy is the basis to grit. It's the secret to grit. I swear, this dog is cracking me up. She's like, amen, preach it, mama. She hears me preach it all the time. But today's much more preachy, maybe because the book's coming out and we know that. And it's like, this is a big deal. This book is not something I just sat down and wrote one day. And I know you could feel that when you read it. Like, this really is a legacy piece for me, but it's the first of many. Like, I know there's so much more to say on this subject. And, you know, I got the feedback from another friend just this morning, and she said, Jan, you know, this book for me is so much what's needed, because it's not toxic positivity. It's not just a hypey, happy book. It's like, you really get in there. Like, I really, and that's my intention, because I've faced a cancer scare with my then 6-week-old son, which, you know, I talk about in the book. I've faced the tragedy and the death of my mother-in-law that was so traumatic and dramatic at the time that it rocked our world, and it rocked actually entire communities because of what happened and how it happened. And it's just, you know, whether people are facing political or economical or relational, or just something as simple as like a flat tire on the way to work or the really important meeting, like it doesn't matter how big the adversity is, I still believe you're here to have joy anyway. And in fact, joy is the way through what you're dealing with.
We have a choice of how we respond, right?
Right.
Like everything happens. I have had the same conversation multiple times. It's one of those philosophical ones where like, we're not going to get to the bottom of, but like, how is it that one person, two people have similar events happen, mm-hmm. and one person comes out not only okay, but better, and the other person stays in the muck of it forever and they never recover. Like, I'm just, it never ceases to amaze me, and it doesn't cease to amaze me when I see it happen again. I'm like, wait, what? Mm-hmm. Like, how did that happen? Like, how did that person? And I was watching a show recently, and one of the main characters said, well, I had no choice. Like, I had to. And the other character looked at her and said, but you did have a choice. And those are the kind of choices you make every time, and everybody else has to live with them. And it was like, oh my gosh, like hey, listener, I'm going to get that exact quote from that scene. And I'm going to actually do a podcast about that, because that is a mindset. Like, do you have to be there? Like, was this kind of a crappy day? Yeah, I had my knee replaced. Has my recovery been what it was a year ago on the other knee? No, not at all. But every day it was like, Today's going to be the day I turn the corner. Today's going to be the day I turn the corner. I finally turn the corner. You have no idea how excitable I am that I finally turn the
Yes,
corner.
we celebrate
I know,
that.
but how much worse could it or would it have been if I had just been, it's never going to get any better. Like I walked into the doctor's office literally a week ago and I said, I'm devastated. I'm disappointed. I'm disenchanted. I'm disheartened. I'm all the D words because I can't walk. I could walk, just not without assistance. And he was like, oh, well, let's get rid of that swelling. I was like, yeah, let's do that. But it was like, I wanted a solution. I'm not gonna stand or live with not a solution. I got a solution. I'm much better. And yes, I am very hyped up on steroids right now, and they've worked really well. But
The other D, the drugs.
like up until I got the steroids, I still like, and people would say, oh gosh, you have such a good attitude. And I didn't feel like I had a good attitude at all. Like I was not, because I was so unhappy about it. But at the same time, I knew that there was going to be something better. Like I was going to get there. I was going to make it. Is there something, and I don't know how I do that. Like if somebody were to ask me or sitting there thinking, wow, how did she do that? I don't know. But Jan, you probably do. Like, what do we do
A
when
hundred
we're
percent.
when
I can tell you for
we're
sure what you did and what others can do. There really is a tactic here that sounds like kind of trite to say there's a tactic to your joy, and yet there is. And what it is, and what a perfect example. We're going to unpack it right now.
Let's do it.
Like, you are holding the vision, it's going to get better. It has to. And that's what I would say is the joy-filled vision. And that's part of like my backstory, my what we call turning point story of when I really saw the transformative power of joy was when I was a teenager. And I didn't have that hope and I didn't have that belief that there was a vision of something better and that this will get through. And, like your experience of one knee working out great and the other one not so great, but you also know one knee you still got through, right? Like, even though this other knee is taking longer, you know what the vision of done and good and joyful looks like. So, step one is having that bigger vision, which I know is really hard. And I'm just going to speak to this in the moment that it's very hard sometimes when you're in the middle of whatever you're facing. So, sometimes it might feel a little out there, airy fairy, or like the cancer scare with my son. Like, it seemed very out there that we were going to hold the vision of, that everything's fine, like that there's a miracle here somehow, some way. Like, and yet having the vision of something better in whatever capacity possible is step one. Step two is maintaining or honoring your joy in the moment. This does not mean, by the way, that you're always happy, happy, joy, joy. Like, no, this means, look, you have the emotional breakdown, you have the anger, you have the frustration, you have the whatever human experiences. But then on the flip side, you also have what I call Fruit Loop moments, which you get to read about in the book. I'm not going to give it away here more,
I
but
love that part, by the way.
and it's joy in the moment. And that's what I believe in, is where joy can be found in the moment, even in our darkest hour. And yet you look for the little joys, the little things you can laugh about, the things that, like, while you can't walk around, you can watch a good show with a friend, right? Like, you can do little things that bring you joy, just maybe not in the same way. And to let those come to you, because I do believe we are all joy in our essence, and I believe joy is anywhere and everywhere. We just have to look for it sometimes. And so that's also, I want to acknowledge, that is a muscle. That is a muscle, and that is also where I'm a big fan of the conversation and why I coach joy, and my programs are about building that joy muscle so that you can train your brain to look for it more, and yet you can already start today. Like, even this listening to this podcast could be your joy for the moment, just listening in and being inspired and giggle with us and everything else. So it's looking for the joy and really fostering the emotional, mental, spiritual aspect of joy. And then the third step is taking those actions. Like, you needed to go to the doctor and say, hang on, this really isn't working. Yeah, I can keep a positive attitude, but that's not getting this done.
It's not solving it.
Exactly. So it's still taking the actions. Like, just a little bit with the cancer scare with my son, like I had to get in my joy, and then we had to make tough decisions about what was happening with him. And so wherever someone may be at listening in, you know, might be like, yeah, but this is an invitation that joy, we got to work on the spiritual. And then you're in a physical world, you're in a physical body, you have to take action. So there's grounded action coupled with keeping your spirits up, because it really is true. Joy is a level of enlightenment, or is a level of consciousness almost to enlightenment, that feels enlightening, right? Like when it really feels good. Like, just inviting everyone right now, like, think about the last time you really felt joy and what it felt like in your body and what it felt like even in sensing the space around you. Like, there's a spaciousness and there's a lightness and there's a magic to the experience of joy that I also want to distinguish really quick here, the difference between happiness and joy. That happiness is an emotional, fleeting moment, and joy is a state of being. That as I teach it and believe in it, it's also about honoring the not joy too. And that's feeling the sadness and the frustration that you have been feeling with your knee. Like, like, we're not candy coating. That sucks. And how frustrating that is. I know you were sharing, like, you had all these hopes and dreams and intentions of things being able to, you know, engage in, you can't engage in them right now. And it's like, we're not going to step over that. However, that's part of the beingness of joy, because it's also holding that intentionality of feeling good again at some point, ideally, you know, incrementally along the way. And that's where I believe joy is. It's the path and the end destination. It's the path and the fuel, by the way, to your vehicle, which is also joy, and then the end destination. So yes, you were going to say.
Well, in I was at a point in my life, I didn't know it, right? Because when you're in the midst of it, it's kind of hard to see sometimes. And I was in a situation scenario where every day was just an immense amount of trauma drama, like all day, every day. And like, I couldn't see the forest from the for the trees. And I really didn't have anybody or any, I didn't really have any concept that it could be different. Because I didn't know what to do differently to make it different. And there was a pivotal moment at work, and I went to see a counselor, because it was like, I'm waking up in the middle of the night with panic attacks. I never know what my day is going to be. I am not a panic attack person. I am not a depressed person like that. I just, by the grace of God, those are not my things. And I went to see this counselor, and she said, You just need to learn how to act and react differently to this situation. And I was like, well, I don't know what else to do. And she goes, well, let me just give you some skills and some, you know, tactics. And so I just want to point out right here, we often think we have to do it in a vacuum. We often think we have to do it on our own. We often hear those stupid stories about, I pulled myself up by my bootstraps. No, you didn't. Somebody handed you the damn strap so that you could pull on. Like, there's always somebody in our world. Actually, right. I came up last night and I said, in my very first book, Address the Stress, I literally talk about that. And I was like, it's so funny that it's coming around now all these years later. But we're a collective consciousness.
Right.
I need to find the study again, but there was a time when there were astronauts on a space station or they were in outer space at any rate. And the people at NASA would write down a word, and everybody in the room would focus on that one word at 12 o'clock noon, whatever time zone. And then 5 minutes later, the astronauts would message back what they thought the word was. And 98% of the time, they got it right. And it's because we're all so incredibly more connected than we think or believe. And if we're more connected, then we can ask for help and somebody will help us. And like in my journey, I'm very independent. I've been married 33 years. My husband knows I'm very independent, so he's good with that. I'm good with that. It's all good. But at some point in my recovery, it was not going well. He was not home. He was out of town. And I got hold of one of my great nieces who's 20, bless her heart. And I was like, I need ride to therapy. I can't drive. And she took me and it was okay. And the next day she came and got me and took me back to physical therapy. And I got in the car and she was like, how are you today, Aunt Jennifer? Which I'm Aunt Jennifer, right? Like I'm the happy one. I'm the let's get this together. And I just start sobbing. And I was like, Addie, I'm not good. Like I'm just not good. And I get it together and we get to therapy. Poor little thing. She didn't know what to say or do. I get into therapy. The therapist comes in and she's like, how are you today? And I just start bawling. I was like, Teresa, I'm terrible. I should be able to walk. I should be over this. This is just awful. Oh my God. And she said, you need more pain medicine. I was like, what? And she said, you're feeling this way because you're in so much pain and the pain has taken over you. So let's get you on a regimen of your pain medicine so you can do the therapy and then you don't take the pain medicine and then you'll be really good. And I upped my pain medicine and I kid you not, in 24 hours, I was a whole different person because I wasn't in pain anymore. But I had to ask for help. I had to ask for help from my niece. I had to ask for help from the therapist. I had to call the doctor's office and get a refill on some medicine. So, like we're not, and I know you're because I know you're not advocating for this, but anybody listening who thinks, oh, I don't have the wherewithal to do it, you don't, because it takes a village, it takes a lot of people. We have a collective consciousness, we have collective people. People work with Joy every day because they need our Jan in her Joy programs because she's the Joy alchemist and can help get you there. So I just had to like throw that in there that we're not doing it alone, and anybody who tells you they did it all on their own, I'm gonna go toe to toe with them that they're a big fat liar.
I love that you just you just and that's 100%. Every one of my stories I share about basically the angel that was there. And sometimes angel teachers come in sideways, that there's someone who provides a loud contrast of not it, and yet it was, I also believe, like you said, the collective consciousness, but I believe there, you know, there's time, divine timing too. It's like it had to be your niece, right? Like such a vulnerable moment for you to be so present to, you're not the happy Aunt Jennifer she knows. And then even to be with her reaction of like, ah, oh no, she's not my happy aunt, you know, and yet, but for
It's
you
gonna
to be
get
raw
better.
and real, it's
It's gonna
good. So, I mean, maybe she wasn't the direct solution. However, she was a safe space and for you to just follow through on the steps, which is like, you know, we kind of gave this little three-step formula here today. And yet you're right. No one does it alone. And I, oh, you know, read the book and look at other spaces where you can get that upliftment, where there are people that want to see you win.
yes.
Because the truth is, at the end of the day, and you're right, in the collective consciousness, we all want to win. We all want to succeed. We all want to have our divine destiny fulfilled. Like we all want to have a good, decent life. You know, some of us more abundant and lavish than others, but it doesn't matter what the details are. Fundamentally, we all desire the same things. Joy, to belong, to feel love and to feel connection. And you can't do that alone. Now, I am a big fan of like journaling and spending time in nature alone. I'm a big trail runner and all these things. And yet, it's like we are human beings, part of a human body, an energy, an entity. Like, there's an outliner or two or outliers in the 7, you know, or 8 billion people that we have on the planet now that are very happy to be hermits. But that was great, 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 great exceptions. And you're so right. No one does it alone. And that's where I'm so grateful today, even to get to share about my book and speak to our audience. And, you know, we just talked about this the other day, and you're like, come on the podcast. And it's like, oh my gosh, yes. And thank you. Thank you. Like, we are, I don't know, I'm getting moved right now, just like looking into your eyes on the Zoom. Like, you know, we are each other. We all do want to win. And no matter how diverse our, you know, beliefs are in whatever arena, at the core, we're human beings here to live a life. And we all fart and burp and cuss once in a while, maybe, and, you know, get angry and lose our temper and cry and laugh. But we all care about living a good life. And I really believe that that joy is really meant for everybody. And so, yeah, like wherever you can find that now, but also find it in others. And it might just be, you know, even out of this podcast, like picking up the phone and calling someone and saying, hey, I appreciate you. You bring joy to my life. Just as a start.
It is. And it's the simple things. And I don't know, in our whole 30 whatever minutes together, I don't know that you've ever said exactly what is the title of your book?
Joy Anyway, Transform Adversity Through Audacious Joy.
Oh my gosh. By Jan Hoth, H-O-A-T-H. It's going to be on Amazon. It is in Kindle ebook format originally, and I'm sure it's going to expand from there, but that's going to be the big launch on June 25th. And why June Woo-hoo. 25th? Why is Joy Anyway launching on June 25th?
Well, because it's International Joy Day. Woohoo! We got to bring more joy to the world in a big way, and that is the day. And I just feel it in my heart and really every ounce of my being, like that now is the time that this conversation is really, really ready to be had.
I love this. So in the show notes are all the ways to get hold of Jan. The book will be on Amazon. You can go to your Kindle app. You can go to Amazon. Joy Anyway by Jan Hoth. And then, Jan, you do work with clients, one-on-one, group, corporate settings. I know you do a lot of cool stuff, and they can find all that on your website.
They can definitely get there and get started. Yes. But yes, I have a wide variety of ways that I play and serve and support my clients to claim their joy and alchemize it. Absolutely.
This has just been a delight. Oh, no, it has not. This has been a joy to spend time with Jan. And I'm so excited for your journey and for the book and wishing you all the possible success that's going to come with it.
Thank you, Jennifer, and thank you to all of our wonderful listeners for tuning in, and I hope you go get the book and let me know what you think, and I hope, I know that you will find joy anyway already.
I love it. Thanks for being here.
Thank you.
I'm Jennifer Takagi with Destined for Success, and I look forward to connecting with you soon.
Thank you for taking your time to spend with me on this latest podcast of Destined for Success. Please take a moment to leave a review, share it with a friend, and subscribe, and get the newest episodes every Monday morning. I'm Jennifer Takagi, and I look forward to connecting with you soon.